The air was heavy with rain, though the storm hadn't started yet. The Argentine sky hung low over the sleepy literal city of Mirin Bay, a place where time moved like the drift, laggardly, deliberate, and always returning. It was in this city, on a road lined with flower shops and cafes, that Maya Ellison set up herself standing in front of a survived rustic door, one she hadn't seen in 6 times. She had told herself she would then come back. Not after everything. Not after him. But grief had a way of unraveling precisely laid plans. Her mama's end had brought her home, and now she stood at the threshold of her history, fritters pulsing as she raised them to knock. The door opened before she could. Maya. His voice was a little deeper, rougher perhaps, but it was still unmistakably him. Evan Hart, the man she had formerly loved with every piece of her heart. He stood in the doorway, dressed in a worn corte sweater and jeans, barefoot like always. His dark brown hair was slightly longer now, entwining at the edges, and his eyes, those stormy blue eyes, still held the same conservative warmth that had formerly undone her. "I didn't suppose," he traced off. "You're then." She jounced, doubtful of what to say. "Hi, Evan." A pause. Also, he stepped away. "You should come by. It's about to rain." Maya dithered only a moment before stepping inside the familiar cabin. The scent of cedar and old books filled the air, just like she flashed back. The walls were lined with photos, geographies, evenings, and one of the two of them on the pier, framed like a memory neither of them could let go of. He offered her tea, and she accepted, sitting awkwardly on the settee where they'd formerly spent entire nights talking about dreams too big for the city. Evan moved around the kitchen quietly, and she watched him, wondering how 6 times could both change everything and nothing at all. When he returned with 2 storming mugs, he did ent sit beside her. Rather, he perched on the armchair across the room, the space between them filled with all the effects they had ent said. "I'm sorry about your mama," he said eventually. "She was a good woman." "Thank you," Maya said vocally. "She always liked you, you know. She told me once that you'd come back. I didn't believe her." He took a belt of his tea, eyes no way leaving hers. "And now you're then." "Only for many days," she said snappily, hysterical what staying might mean. "I just demanded to settle many effects." Evan jounced, but the disappointment was there, subtle as a hush before the rain. "Right." There was silence, broken only by the ticking of the old timepiece on the wall, and the first drops of rain tapping against the window. "I didn't come then to renew old injuries," she said after a moment. I didn't know. I guess I demanded to see it. To see you." He studied her, quiet, thoughtful. "You're different." "I had to be." "I know." And she did too. When she left for New York all those times gone, chasing a career in jotting, she had meant to leave him before. But life pulled her faster than love could keep up. Letters turned into emails, which turned into silence. And now then they were 2 people who used to know each other better than anyone, sitting like non-natives in a home filled with ghosts. "Do you ever suppose about it?" she asked, surprising indeed herself. "Every day." Her heart faltered. "Evan, I loved you, Maya," he said, the words low and raw. "I still do, but I stopped hoping a long time ago." She looked down at her mug, gashes surcharging her eyes. "I stop hoping too, but I no way stop wondering." And in that moment, as the storm picked up outdoors, they both understood what had no way really been lost. Only buried beneath time, pride, and pain. The storm passed snappily, but the silence between them dallied long after the last droplet fell. Maya sat coiled on the settee, gaping at the fire Evan had erected in the domicile. It crepitated and glowed, casting fluttering murk on the walls, walls that had formerly echoed with horse laugh, rumored secrets, and promises they had not been ready to keep. Evan returned from the kitchen with a small print reader. He handed it to her without a word. She opened it. Prints of their youngish characters revealed across the runners. Sand days, fishing passages, birthdays, leaves. Her fave was one of her asleep on his shoulder in the reverse of a volley truck under a sky full of stars. He'd kissed her forepart after that picture was taken. She flashed back the exact warmth of it. "You kept all of these?" she asked. "Couldn't throw them down," he replied. "Indeed, when I wanted to." Her fritters graze a runner, as if touching the history would make it real again. I lied about calling you. So numerous times. But also life got in the way. And I didn't know if you'd still be there. I was always then, he said, staying indeed when I told myself to move on. Maya closed the reader sluggishly and looked up at him. Did you? No. The room was quiet, just the sound of wood creaking and hearts beating too presto. She set the reader down. I allowed. I had to leave to find myself. But I suppose I left behind the stylish part me. Evan's voice was rough with feeling. Also, why did you know we'd come back? Maya's casket tensed. Because I was spooked. That you'd moved on. That you'd detest me. That I'd ruined everything. He leaned forward, elbows on his knees. I no way abominated you, Maya. I abominated how it ended. But no way you. Gashes slipped quietly down her impertinence. I wanted so poorly to write my story, to come commodity. And now, I didn't know if it was worth the price. You did come commodity. You're a pen. You published books. You made your dreams real. But I lost you in the process. He didn't answer incontinently. Rather, he stood, walked a window, and looked out at the bay. The drift was coming by. Swells crashing vocally against the jewels. The same ocean that had witnessed their first kiss, their night swims, their pledges. I used to come then every day, he said, to the cabin. I couldn't let it go. You still live then? No, he shook his head. I moved out of many times agone. But I couldn't bring myself to vend it. It's the only place that still feels like us. Maya walked to his side, standing just near enough to feel his warmth. I missed you, she rumored. In ways I no way learned how to explain. Evan turned to her. Their faces were elevation piecemeal. You broke my heart. I know. But you still have it. Maya's breath hitched. The words cut her open and healing her at the same time. I don't know what happens now, she said, voice slightly audible. Evan gently put away a beach front of her damp hair behind her observance. Perhaps we don't need to know. Perhaps we just try again. One day at a time. One day again, she muttered. He smiled, the kind that reached his eyes, the smile she hadn't seen in six times but had pictured of every night. Stay, he said, just for a while. She jounced sluggishly. I can stay for a while. The ensuing days passed like a dream Maya was ent ready to wake from. She stayed in the guest room at the cabin, girdled by the scent of pine wood and salt water, wrapped in the warmth of recollections, and the quiet presence of Evan. They didn't talk about the future. Not yet, but every small moment sutured the broken corridor between them, piece by piece. Mornings were slow. Evan made coffee the way she liked it. Too sweet, too delicate. Without asking, they would sit on the veranda and watch the fog lift from the bay. Occasionally, they'd talk about her life in New York, the book deals, the readings, the lonely nights in high-rise apartments. Occasionally, they just sat in silence, letting the meter of the ocean speak for them. On the third morning, Maya sat up and painting again. A large oil sat propped up in the old plant behind the house, covered in strokes of Argentine, blue, and gold. It was the bay at daylight, but it was ain't just a oil. It was a feeling, a craving, a homecoming, an alternate chance. I allowed you stop painting, she said vocally. I did, for a while. He wiped his hands on a rag and turned to her. But you being then it brought it back. She smiled, moved closer, touching the edge of the oil. It's beautiful. So are you. Maya turned to him, caught off guard by the sincerity in his voice. He stepped closer, eyes searching hers. You haven't changed as much as you suppose. And you've changed in all the right ways, she rumored. He kissed her also. It was conditional at first, as if testing the water after a long downtime. But also it strengthened, familiar, painting real. Maya's hands coiled into his shirt as his arms wrapped around her, and everything that had been held back for six times poured into that kiss. Latterly that autumn, they walked along the sand like they used to, barefoot and laughing, their murk dancing together in the golden light. Evan picked up a piece of driftwood shaped like a heart and handed it to her with a wink. I suppose the macrocosm is lodging for us, he said. I suppose it always has, she replied. but indeed in joy. There was a quiet question moping, what coming? The answer came suddenly on the last night of her planned stay. They sat on the old bench by the precipice. The stars spread out like lanterns above them. I do want to go back, Maya confessed. Not to the megacity. Not to that interpretation of my life. Evan looked at her precisely. Also, do Ent. I say Ent just walked down from everything. But you formally did formally, he said gently. You walked down from this. From us. And you said it left you empty. She blinked, gashes slipping down. I'm spooked, I'll fail again. I'm not asking you to give up your dreams, he said. I'm asking you to conjure with me this time. She leaned into him, heart full and breaking all it formerly. You still want that? After all this time. One day again, he repeated. The same expression they participated days before now a pledge. This time, she didn't vacillate. I want 1,000 further days with you. And just like that, the space between what was and what could be faded. Epilogue. One time latterly Maya's new sat on the shelf of the original bookstore named One Day Again. Beneath the fidelity, it read for Evan, because love, like the drift, always returns. She lived in Mirren Bay now, in a cabin filled with light and horse laugh. Evan painted beside her plant while she wrote. They still drank too sweet coffee. They still walked barefoot on the beach. And every evening, they sat on the veranda, holding hands and watching the sky turn to gold. They had no chart for the future, but they didn't need one, because this time they were writing it together.